Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown to Rushville. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine, with care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Rush County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, the program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Before we get to the show, let's meet the panel. You know him from 30 years, the Indiana Senate. Once upon a time, the most beloved figure in the State House, and then he teamed up with us. Jim Merritt, hello.
Robert, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you know him as the owner and operator of IndyPolitics.org. He's an author. He's a broadcaster. He's an attorney. Oh, my goodness. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, hello.
Good morning, my friend.
All right, so let's start with you, Shabazz. We'll get to the wrapping up of the General Assembly and the session in a few moments. But first, the saga continues between our old friend, Honest Gabe Whitley, and yourself. What is going on?
Well, first of all, Mr. Whitley is a candidate for Congress. He's running the Republican primary, so got to give credit where credit it's not due.
Credit for what? That he filled out the form?
Yeah, maybe in trouble for that, the way he filled out the form. Imagine that. No, Mr. Whitley apparently this week filed a petition for what's called a protective order.
Oh!
And usually those are for people in domestic violence situations or serious harassment, intimidation.
Right.
I want to say like there were 12,000 of them filed in Indiana last year.
It's like a spouse thing, like, yeah, I'm afraid of my ex-husband.
Right, exactly.
Right.
People who are in serious danger with serious issues and serious problems.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's not something you should clown around with.
Right. So Mr. Whitley filed a protective order against me, saying I sent him a letter threatening him.
Against you?
Yes. And we have a hearing a week from Monday at 2:30 in the afternoon, Court 6. Anybody wants to show up, they are open to the public.
When is it?
A week from Monday, the 25th.
Oh.
At 2:30 in the afternoon.
And anybody can just waltz in there.
Yep, Court 6.
Great. Merritt, you want to go?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. We'll go sit in the back. It'll be fun.
Yeah, Court 6, the Community Justice
Wouldn't
Center.
Miss it.
Okay, so I've known you for like 11 or 12 years now. I have found you at times to be a complete jerk, but I've never found you to be remotely threatening.
No, I don't believe in threatening people. First of all, I don't threaten people. I just do it. That's kind of point number one.
How does this old honest Gabe? You threatened him?
I'm not sure, because I never threatened him or had any real communication with him at all. Like I said, there were a couple times we were in the same form at the same time when I ran for mayor last year, but that was about it. So he filed a protective order, and what's interesting, when I looked at the protective order, what I wrote was, it's part fantasy plus perjury is what it is. Because all this is made up, number one. But at the bottom of the form, when you file a petition for a protective order, it says you do this under penalty of perjury. You swear to attest that everything you write and sign your name to is true. Period. Now, to say that I sent him a letter threatening him, like, well, why isn't a copy of the letter included with the petition? And so I wrote a reply basically saying, number one, he didn't meet the standards for protective order. Number two, stalking and harassment, which are crucial to a protective order, don't work if there's a protected constitutional right involved.
Right.
Say, like, the person is a candidate for Congress, and the person wants a protective order against, oh, say, a member of the media for the past 20 years in Indianapolis.
Right.
That goes to the First Amendment. It goes to the state and U.S. Constitution. So guess what? It doesn't fly.
Yeah, so a little bit of background. We've done a couple episodes on this, but for those of you who don't know, so Gabe Whitley is a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. He's one of multiple candidates fighting for the right to lose easily to Andre Carson. And it came out in the Indiana Capital Chronicle that there are a laundry list of donations to his congressional campaign of people that cannot be found. There have been multiple complaints filed against him, one with the IED, the Indiana Election Division, and then one with the Federal Election Commission. There are multiple issues wrong with the campaign finance report. There's a political, what would you call it? Is it a consulting firm or whatever it's called that nobody can find? And so, there's a laundry list of issues with the campaign finance report that this guy filled out. And now, apparently, Abdul, he is taking it all out on you.
Yes, apparently. I must be the target for his malfeasance. Which, by the way, he wrote on his social media page that he spoke with the election commission, everything is fine.
No,
he didn't.
I wrote the stalking law in Indiana. And
is there any law you didn't write? Last week you were the public access counselor guy.
Well, I wrote the stalking law, and that is all about spousal abuse. And this whole charade that is going on here is mind-numbing, because there are women and men out there who are fearful for their life and want these protective orders, want to be protected by the stalking law and anti-stalking law. And this is just a play on the system.
He's making a mockery of it.
Very much so. And at least Abdul is a lawyer and can defend himself. What about somebody else? It is, Robert, a mockery of the system.
Now, there's so many questions about this. One, first of all, to me, and you're a former Marion County GOP chair, and we've lamented the condition now of the Marion County GOP, that they've said nothing about this guy. I mean, this detailed report comes out in Indiana Capital Chronicle about these donations, these people nobody can find, and they say nothing then. He's doing this to Abdul, which everybody knows is a complete joke, and he's making a total mockery of, as you said, a very serious thing. You know, you pointed out, Abdul, that there you have to sign and attest that these things are real under penalty of perjury, so he could be in big trouble for that. And yet the Marion County GOP, this guy could be their nominee for Congress, and they are completely silent. Where is Joe Elsner?
Well, actually, Joe Elsner and I, we chatted yesterday.
But where is he publicly?
Would Gabe fit in Washington?
Exactly. Well, no, because also another thing that Whitley wrote was he called on the Marion County Republican Party to censor Abdul and to remove him as a precinct committeeman. I was like,
are you a precinct committeeman?
No, I'm not.
Well, I know wifey wants to be a delegate.
Convention delegate, yeah. Well, she doesn't want to be a convention delegate.
Okay.
She was ordered.
She is.
Yeah, but I mean, like he claims in this letter that he sent to the Marion County Prosecutor's Office that he's been in, I'll just read it, I am pleased to inform you that we have the full support of the U.S. Capitol Police for the protective order against Shabazz. What does that even mean?
Well, see now, Capitol Police, let's see, where's the jurisdiction? Oh, the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah.
Joe Elsner, you spoke to him?
Yeah, Joe and I, we had a good chat. Like, no, you're okay. Like, yeah, we're fine.
But why don't they say something? Like, this guy could, there is a world where this guy could be, unlikely, but could be, the Republican Party nominee for Congress, and yet there's no formal rebuke of him by the Marion County GOP, the state party.
Well, my thing is this: I would rather not draw more attention to this knucklehead than absolutely necessary. And so I can just see the county and state party just keeping quiet about the whole thing, just not draw attention to somebody who has about as much chance of becoming the 7th congressional district candidate as I do running Black Lives Matter Indianapolis.
At some point. So it's the 25th, right? You go to court on the 25th.
This is must see.
You and I have to go, Merrick. We have to be there, and we'll be there.
We'll tweet from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tweet. Actually, you may not be able to tweet. You have to check with the court. Check what the local rules are.
If you were under investigation, potentially by multiple government agencies, would you be doing stuff like this to say, look at me, look? I mean, outlandish stuff like this.
Well, that's why he got into trouble in the first place. He really, obviously, there's some balance in his life that's kind of not there. And
but
that's
is
why he's doing it. It's a trail. It's a trend. And
as my late lovely mother used to say, when we looked at his campaign finance reports, and on the one side, there are people who didn't exist or didn't give, and number two, the dollar amounts were over the limits would be. my lovely mother would say, I hate it when you can't even do wrong right.
Yeah.
She said that a lot to you.
Yes, she did. Well, to my little brother, she did. Okay.
Well, hopefully at some point here in the near future, someone with authority to put a stop to this will put a stop to this, because it's gone far beyond just the ridiculousness of donors who don't exist or a political consulting firm that doesn't exist. I mean, as Abdul pointed out, you've got, allegations now of potential perjury going on. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable, and he has no shame whatsoever, and he shows no sign of stopping. And as you pointed out, Jim, just a few minutes ago, there are very, very, very serious issues in regards to stalking. People who are genuinely in fear for their lives, people who have genuinely gone through horrendous, torturous stuff, who file these sort of things, and this guy is just making a joke out of all of it.
Well, there also is the issue of what's going to happen next time. Because there isn't, honestly, there's not teeth in the law for campaign violations for the next fellow, the next gal, to make these mistakes. The train keeps going on, and there's been a struggle in federal government and state government, unless a court of law comes involved, of penalties for individuals like this, unless they're breaking a criminal law.
And my thing is this, all jokes aside, I agree with Jim wholeheartedly. I mean, there are serious people out there with serious domestic violence and threats and intimidation issues. And what Gabe Whitley is doing is taking a very, very valuable court time and court resources that could go to somebody who's truly in need.
Right. And you're a businessman, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Abdul Kim Shabazz, Jim Merritt, Program State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. All right, so did the both of you subject yourself to that torturous hour and 15 minutes or whatever it was at the governor's debate in Carmel this week?
I relied on Abdul.
You didn't watch it?
No, I did not watch it.
Really?
No. TV.
I figured you had popcorn ready and a couple of sodas.
I rely on Abdul as the reporter.
As I joke say, I watch these things so you don't have to.
That was, all right. So Abdul, I'll start with you. That was horrible.
Then why are you bugging me about watching it?
Well,
it didn't get live until like an hour and 15 minutes into it when they had a little bit of spark kind of going back.
I thought you said a break.
Well, they should have just broke at the beginning and said, we're not going to do this. Because, I mean, that was, if you're Braun, you're sitting back going, well, this was pretty easy. I mean, you kind of thought everybody's going to come in there and everybody's going to turn the fire on this guy who's lapping the field. And until Brad Chambers, about an hour, and I think I did the math. It was about an hour and nine minutes in, and he got it wrong. He was talking about billions, Braun, added to the national debt. Trillions, Brad. Trillions with the T. He couldn't even get it right when he came at him. Braun was probably like, boy, y'all made this way too easy.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, which was, it was like the first question about referendums. I'm like, okay, fine. And I understand what my friends at the Current were trying to do was like, hey, we're trying to get as much input as possible from the voters. And sort of see what do regular people want to hear from the candidates.
And that's your job as a reporter, though, to know what regular people want to hear.
Which I get that, but for the most part, I'm an outsider. Axe attacks, rural Main Street, small business in Jasper. I'm not a politician. I mean, I could literally
just saying hold my beer.
Yeah, I can literally check off what people were going to say.
Braun probably feels like he gets through the next 55-60 days.
Braun was the winner.
Well, I don't necessarily think so, because once again, if you look at the polling that was done by our friends at Fox 59 and CBS4, Braun was like, 33-34%. Braun's internal polling just happened like at 41-42.
Oh, you mean the Josh Kelly polling?
Yes.
Oh.
And so he's down 12 points, and not a whole lot of money has been spent, in the race, but as we said, as soon as session was over, Katie, bar the door and brace yourselves, because mm-hmm. here it comes, mm-hmm. and it's already started.
Okay, so here is what I said the day afterwards. If I'd have been on that stage, if I'd have been one of the six, my photo would be in every post office in this country because I would have committed mass political career homicide on that stage, and there would be five victims who I would be a wanted man for. I mean, every one of those people, other than Rittenauer, who obviously is a, you know, kind of a distant last, but all five of those politicians up there are mortally flawed people. There's something you can look at them and go, going at you would be like shooting fish in a barrel. And nobody went at anybody until an hour and 9 minutes in, and there ain't nobody left watching other than me and Abdul an hour and 9 minutes into this.
My point exactly.
What are they doing, Merritt?
Yeah, I frankly don't know what they're doing. You know, we know about Axe attacks, but it didn't work. I know this.
Nobody believes she's going to have the money to pay for it.
No. And if we were able to do it, it would have been done 15 years ago.
Yep.
And so that is the situation.
Well, let me stop you real quick. Nobody, it could be done. Nobody believes it will be done. I assure you, Jim Merritt, if I were the governor, we would have a plan to do that. Now, whether you guys in the legislature want to do it, that's another story. And it doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong, but nobody believes she's going to do it.
Well, your plan would end up in the rules committee, big guy.
Yeah, well, that's the point. I would present a plan to the people to say, here is how you don't pay income tax. Now, that wouldn't pass. But there would be a plan. Nobody leaves Suzanne Crouch is going to make the cuts necessary to get rid of the income tax.
That's exactly right. And the women and the men and the children that marched on the state house because of the Medicaid issue this year. I mean, just think about that 10 times. Because to balance the state budget is something we have to do constitutionally. But to eliminate the income tax, to do what they want to do, you would have to score on virtually every family that is in a situation where they need government, and there'd be strollers and there'd be wheelchairs and there would be marching on the state house like you've never seen before.
You'd be the same in Les Mis.
So nobody went at Braun until an hour and 9 minutes in. The things they went at him on are like number seven or eight. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's this thing. And you, thanks for the mention in the cheat sheet about this thing. Now, you and I disagree on whether it's a thing or not. But the reality is, in a Republican primary, if you vote for the largest tax increase in the history of the state, which I still haven't forgiven you for, Merritt.
This is Rhodes, right?
The gas tax.
No, Rhodes.
Because a whole bunch of it doesn't go to Rhodes, Merritt. And if you've seen the Rhodes, they stink. From a political standpoint.
That's a pretty good show today.
Yeah, from a political standpoint, though, right? And you admitted this in the cheat sheet. It's a good play to go to a guy who voted for the largest tax increase in the history of the state because it makes him play some defense. Nobody said a word about it. Not one.
Well, a lot of them, regardless of what they say, that they're outside the system and everything, most of them have been inside the system and had some part of being pro-government.
And it was interesting because, and I will give Brad Chambers credit because Brad's got Marty Oaks working for him, and the way they sort of strategically, when Brad would say something, make a certain point, 2 seconds later the news release would pop out because I have my computer off. I was watching them online. Have my Gmail account up. Like, interesting how they sort of coordinated the whole thing. Now, one thing I did think that my
it's very clever, by the way.
Oh yeah, my eyebrow arching moment actually came from our mutual friend Curtis Hill. I love Curtis like my brother, despite our respective disagreements on some issues.
He's the best pure debater up there, right?
Yeah, county prosecutor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to convince a jury, got the interpersonal communication skills, which you cannot take away from him. However, when he went after Lieutenant Governor and Eric Holcomb, he said, no, if you want to know what somebody's going to do in the future, look at their past. Past is prologue, blah, 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 blah. I was like, Curtis did not just say
that. Yeah, that's probably a bad one for him.
I felt like Sheila Brosowski from South Park. What?
Yeah, he would have been better off to say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what Suzanne is going to do.
As opposed to proven conservative leadership. Yes, I get it. You got PCL. Okay, great, right. Fine. Right. Now, what are you going to do about the roads? What are you going to do about schools? What are you going to do about the billion-dollar projected Medicaid shortfall we're looking at?
Okay, so I debate at home with the candidates. And that's how I got my fun out of this. I mean, it was maddening, yeah. But that's how I got my... She left 30 minutes in. So this is how boring this thing was. I mean, my wife is into this stuff. And 30 minutes in, she looks at me and goes, this is boring. I'm going for a walk. Yeah. And she's...
And you're asking me why I didn't watch it?
I thought you'd do it for the show, Maren. She's
have Abdul.
She's way more into it than about 98% of the people. And if she left, then... There's nobody who is sitting through that after the first 15 minutes. And so correct me if I'm wrong on this. They lost me in the opening statements because it's like, I don't care that you're a dad. Like, good for you. I'm a dad too. I don't care that, you know, you were the head of the IEDC. I mean, it works against you in my book, but I don't care. Like, you've got 3 minutes. They gave those people 3 minutes. I would have been like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar when he goes into the boardroom and he starts throwing the guy's toupee on the wall and telling the one guy he's old and the one guy has gingivitis. That would have been me. You got free reign to point out the flaws of every one of those people. And you know, after 15 or 20 minutes, somebody's watching anyway. How do you not take full advantage of that?
Or you talk about your audience. Hoosiers who are listening to you,
right?
And what you're gonna, what you feel from them, and what you're going to do for them as governor of the state of Indiana.
And you already have a motivated audience because the fact that people are actually watching that,
yeah.
Number one, either in Carmel or actually online. I mean, that is your audience. Your audience are those people who care enough to watch this.
You know, and they know about you.
Yeah, 6 weeks out from a primary. Those are the people that you need to talk to.
This is what we said on the air, is because the thing wasn't on TV, it was on that Your Current website, which was like an Indiana Jones adventure hunt to even find the thing. They made it as hard as humanly possible to watch this thing. The result of the debate is going to be what happens in the room. It's how we spin it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know your target is Republican primary, you know, voters, wouldn't you give some red meat to the talk show people to say, boy, Curtis went ballistic on Braun. Really? About what? Oh, the gas tax and his you know, votes at the COVID stuff.
Or the release. I would make sure I have my two or three good zinger lines.
Yeah,
something we could talk about.
Yeah, because that's what I wanted to be the soundbite afterwards.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was boring. Chambers couldn't even get it right when he finally did it. And they might as well just said, here, Mr. Braun. Here's the governor's office.
Well, that's what they did.
There are three more forums. There's one in Fishers where all the candidates for governor, including Don Rainwater and Jennifer McCormick, will be on stage. You have the Wish TV debate coming up, and also you have the Fox 59 debate. Except for that one, Jennifer Ritenour and Curtis Hill will not be able to make because they didn't make the 5%.
That's bullcrap, isn't it? The only two mildly entertaining people. I mean, there may not even be a pulse on that stage
also
for those four.
Also, my friends at Fox 59 have been getting some sort of undertow criticism because the question is, why the only two people of color didn't make the debate stage? Like, well, because of the polling and we got to make 5% and the whole nine yards.
Nobody
Do
believes.
Do you see them breaking that at all? Or are they going to stay true?
Dan Spiegel and I were talking, like, they're probably going to stick.
That is going to be unwatchable if it's Crouch and Doden and Chambers and Braun. I mean, they may have to bring the shock paddles up there to try to find a heartbeat and a pulse on those people. Well, that is insane. Well, Who would sit through that?
Abdul, how many days are left?
A month, 2 weeks, 40...
Too long!
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're going to have to endure this. And we may have to go to that debate in Fishers.
No. Is that the one? That's the one Curtis isn't going to be at, right?
No, that's Channel 59. The one that Curtis is not
going to
be
at. The one that Fishers is more all the candidates for governor, including Jennifer McCormick and Don Rainwater.
Let's face it. I like Rainwater, but he's about as entertaining as dry paint, too. I mean, can't someone be mildly interesting?
Yeah, it's one of the more... we've talked with Casey about this over the last couple of years. At times, this is a snooze fest, and others, there's a little surprise here and there. But I see, you know, Abdul, if the Mean TV's coming with the advertising, and they're trying to lay gloves on Braun regarding, you know, the immunity for police officers and different things about what he has done in Washington, they better hurry up. Because the campaign's finished.
I have a question, and I think this is more to you, but I'll let you weigh in on it too, because you've been a candidate. Well, you've been a candidate too.
Yeah,
and actually, you lost to a rich kid. So, yeah. All right. So, the Doden Chambers is Shreve 2.0 to me, because if I had spent $5 million or $7 million or whatever the total, I think Doden and Chambers are at like $12 million or something.
Yeah.
And Shreve was 16 or whatever. If I had spent that much money, if I were that rich to be able to spend that much money, I would have waltzed into that race. It was like Rocky. I may not answer the bell, but none of you people are answering the bell either. Get ready, Bal. You're going to end for a problem. Their ads aren't interesting. They don't, these qualified immunity ads on Braun, it's like nobody even knows what that is.
Yeah, and just think about this. Somebody walked up to me 2 weeks ago and said to me, who are you going to vote for governor? I said, well, maybe no one. But I don't know who I'm going to vote for. He says, well, I don't know if I'm going to vote for anyone, but who is stupid enough to spend that much money of their own money running for office and they're not going to win? They got 5 or 10%.
And don't forget, your mom and dad also dropped $1 million a piece in Eric Doden's.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, these ads stink.
And people are questioning the intelligence of people spending money to lose.
Well, and then we ran into the thing on the debate stage where if you're Chambers or you're Doden, just like with Shreve, when Shreve had Hogsett right next to him, where were you during the riots? Don't get off it. Yeah. You've spent this much money and you can beat this guy around like a pinball machine for an hour and a half.
And just have fun with it.
Yeah, and he spent more time and passion talking about the dog pound than he did where Hogsett was during the riot. It's the same thing.
We tried to tell him.
You're standing right next to Mike Braun. You're standing right next to him. You have issues, whether establishment hacks like Abdul or not want to admit it, that he's super vulnerable on the gas tax. I love you, by the way. And you don't even bring it up.
Yeah, it's almost like fear that of what the response is going to be. And there's plenty
basically got 2-3 weeks before early voting begins. So whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Done. And by the way, also, speaking of early voting, we got our poll questions all figured out now. So I have the first draft a little bit later this weekend because we actually polled 500 likely Republican voters statewide. Yeah. Look at the governor's race, Eric Holcomb, Donald Trump's approval ratings, also some other issues. Mm-hmm. Also going to ask how people think Todd Rokita is doing.
Oh, boy.
Well, one thing about Brad Chambers, people walk up to me because I've known him and I've known him a long time. And they said, I like Brad. I know Brad. And I think he's done a really good job of growing a business career. He said, but why hasn't he gotten traction? And I said, well, just because it is very difficult in the state of Indiana with, two time zones, 92 counties, to get in there, and he is not a politician. And that's one explanation for one of the candidates. I frankly don't think you can get something done in 10 days to switch someone's opinion.
I mean, he's so far behind.
Yeah.
And Curtis came in here on our Kendall and Casey show, and he was pretty nonchalant about it all. It's like, dude, if you're under 5.
Yeah.
What is your...
Rob, he's running for attorney general.
You are totally convinced he's going to do that.
Well, he should. And
I mean, isn't this 3 strikes you're out, though? I mean, he lost the attorney general's race. He lost the U.S. House race. This would be the governor's race.
But he was in there fighting in the convention for attorney general. And he set himself up to, lose the Republican governor primary and turn around and run the convention.
He's got no shot at this. I mean, he can't even get on TV. He can't.
It's good radio to talk about.
It is. It's fine. If you want to be the punching bag.
Yeah, but you're talking to the political class. You're going to need more than the political class to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I want Curtis
you mean
to
in
do
the convention.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't particularly support any of these people because I'm not sure any of them put out a vision that would actually make the state better. Mm-hmm. I find Curtis probably the least take Rittenour out of the equation. I find Curtis the least offensive and probably least likely to do things that will anger me on a consistent basis, but he's got no chance.
Right. Well, and also you hark back to Mitch Daniels' run for governor and the 18 months and going in and spending the night in people's homes and, running a textbook campaign for governor. And everybody really kind of fails in comparison
RV,
to that.
His RV1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the issues he said he'd do, and then the
plaid shirt and the twang.
Oh yeah. He just ran a masterful campaign. Like, and Miss
Daniels, no offense, sir, but you're about as much of a Hoosier as I am.
Yeah. Okay. But you know who never fails is us and this show. And we did it again.
We try.
You guys are the best.
Thank you.
All right. Merritt, Abdul, thanks.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.